dark or dark, they counted me out. Moment of truth, counting it down. Underdog story was down for the count. Back on my feet, back with a mic, back on a beat, back with a fan, let it bang in the streets. The game on lock, I stand with a key. Stand in my ground, I am planning to flee. Stand in my ground, I am planning my feet. Taking a stand, embracing my destiny, shaking his hand.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Clydesdale Media Thursday Night CrossFit Talk. Almost said the wrong show title because it's late in the week. I worked out today. Messed with me.
Woo!
So, we got Carolyn Prevost live from California. We've got Jamie Latimer, hopefully north of the storms. And I am right in Tornado Alley right now. So, if my wife shows up in the background, it's because she had to run to the basement. But we're in the middle of tornado watches and warnings all over the state. So, and there's been a sighting west of here. So,
oh no.
So hopefully we can get through the night without too much drama. And cool thing that happened to me this week is I have a new internet provider.
That's what I was going to say.
I am now on the AT&T fiber optic lines. I have my own dedicated fiber optic cable, and so far so good. The speeds are recording twice as fast as I had with my previous internet service provider, and I have not lagged on any of the shows this week. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. Need to get them to sponsor us. AT&T.
Yeah.
So how has everybody else's week gone?
Good. I finally caught up on a little bit of sleep, but I don't know. Still just busy. Just trying to survive one more week of the open.
Carolyn, you traveled? Oh, no. Did she freeze?
Maybe.
I just bragged about her internet. Carolyn freezes.
Is mine good now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how was your week? Traveling to California?
You can go first, Jamie.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jamie already went.
Yeah, it must with the doodles. I have a doodle that's looking at my steak right now. Puppy eyes.
Oh, steak sounds wonderful.
So, like, how much... I know that your schedule gets really out of whack going west. How much does it help that you're a couple hours ahead normally, and then Lex wants to get you up at 4 a.m. to work out?
Well, I haven't switched my schedule at all because we go to bed very early, around like between 7 and 8. We're like already like in bed, and then I get to sleep in until 4:10. She gets up around like 3:45, 3:50 maybe, and then prepares the breakfast and gets ready for the day. But I get my extra 20 minutes sleep, but it's like 7:10 for me. So I'm on my regular routine, which is like a 9 or 10 o'clock sleep and a 6 or 7 o'clock wake up. So really I just feel no jet lag because I just go right into her routine and it mixes in with what I already do back home.
Does that help going back? Because I've never had a problem going west, but coming east is where I feel it.
Yeah. I mean, I just go back to the same routine, and I guess like I'm not sleeping in until, well, for her family, it's sleeping in. If I can sleep until 6 o'clock, they're all early risers. But I get back to my own routine pretty easy just because I never fell off of my regular routine. So the comeback is actually much easier than I would say most people.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to. Yeah. I try to stay on the schedule when I go west. It never happens because usually I'm at a CrossFit event and they run late. And so then I end up like not eating until 10 o'clock at night and figuring all that stuff out. But yeah. But it's been a good week overall for me. Again, the internet. With that, we had to get new phones because we switched cell service to get the deal. And none of that is linked to anything. my watch data is not on my phone. I can't figure out how to re-link it. All that stuff when you get a new phone. But I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. I went and worked out today with our listener, Judy Reed. It was fun hanging out with her for the hour. She did awesome. And yeah, really fun today, getting back to the gym. And it was a tough workout, 40 minutes long. Not what I was ideally expecting. But what's funny is I reported to Cheryl and she said, "You probably only did like 4 rounds, right?" And I said, "No, I did all 8. And she said, "Well, I would have scaled you back to 4. And I said, "Nope, did all 8. So there it is.
That's awesome. Good for you.
I was super pumped when I saw you post your picture. Lex and I were together and we're like, yes, he went there.
I did. There was enough peer pressure in the weight loss show to get me there. But it was cool going with Judy too, because it was an experience she wanted. Christy is her hero in the CrossFit world. Regretfully, Christy wasn't there, probably prepping for open stuff. But we've already made arrangements. We're going to do it again in a couple weeks. So we'll get her to meet Christy in the next couple weeks or so.
Awesome.
One thing, I have to pump this up. Kenneth says, yesterday's interview, chef's kiss. I always have a blast with Jarrett Smith. If you don't know, that dude is one of the most underrated coaches in the business. He took 2 athletes to the games last year and also coached Sydney Mikulishin, who was just outside of making it to the games and has made it to the games twice before. But it was a great interview. He is just so easy to talk to. I feel like he's just the kind of guy I want to go kind of hang out, have a beer or a cup of coffee with and just chat with all the time. But yeah, if you didn't catch that yesterday, really, really fun interview. And we talk about Corey Leonard and his potential to make the games at the age of 50. So check that out too.
Corey's excited for this one. I think he'll do good at it. It's a good workout for him.
Yeah, I can see that. So with that, I guess we'll get into I didn't say Jody, did I?
I don't think so.
I said Judy.
I think you said Judy.
Okay. All right, cool. So just real quick, I did find 2 new shows this week. If you have not seen One Mississippi, I'm almost through the first season of that. It's a very interesting take. It's kind of a dark comedy. Really good with Tig Torrenson. I don't know her last name. She's really funny. She's in a lot of things. It's really good. And then my wife started watching and sucked me in on, it's a flight show, in World War II. The main character is the guy who played Elvis.
Okay.
And it's about how crazy it was for the pilots and their crews during World War II being bomber pilots without a lot of, not a lot of cover. And that it's really good. It's a period piece. It's a lot more drama. But it did pull me in, a little bit with that one. So, and Kenneth says, yeah, that's same people that did Band of Brothers back in the day, but it was really good. And Corey helped me out. Tig Notaro.
I have not heard of that person.
She is hilarious. But it's really, I think it is an autobiographical account of when her mother died and she was going through breast cancer and a double mastectomy at the same time. Like all of that hit her at one time and how she kind of dealt with it and the quirkiness of her family. through that. So it's kind of a dark comedy. There's some funny parts. There's some stuff, but it's really good. And Wad Zombie helped me out. It is Masters of the Air. That is the show. It's on Apple TV, and it's good. So now we got to, and any other TV stuff from any sports going on, Carolyn?
I watched a couple PWHL games again for hockey, of course, supporting my my friends. We watched, last weekend there was the Big Ten Championship, the SEC, a lot of the women's college basketball final conference like tournaments. So some exciting games there that Lex and I were able to watch. What's that?
What happened at the end of the SEC championship game? Wasn't that the big playing brawl?
With the LSU one?
Yeah.
Competitiveness. It happens.
You watch anything new, Jamie, or are you just resting?
I'm still on The Tourist.
Okay.
And I think I've got one episode left.
Check out Shogun on FX. I actually saw the original Shogun with Richard Chamberlain way back in the day. So, and Wad Zombie comes in with Brothers. The Brother's Son on Netflix is great. So a couple suggestions for reviewing pleasure. And now we got to get to all the news that is CrossFit. And man, I love to bring positive spins to things, but it's going to be tough for a little bit here because we're going to have to be critical. We're going to start by closing out 24.2. Okay. And we have to start with the final judgment on scoring that CrossFit made that I'm calling the scoring debacle.
Okay.
On the men's side, it was announced that Tudor Magda received a major penalty of 20%, 20% on his score for 24.2, taking him out of the lead and giving Heinrich Haipalainen the overall victory for 24.2.
Mm-hmm.
To the best of my recollection, no other person received a penalty on 24.2.
Well, Heinrich got one.
One missed double under.
Right.
That's correct. But it is quite clear through all the videos out there that Tudor was not the only person missing hip extension on the deadlifts.
Agreed.
And for him to be singled out for this seems to me to be a crime.
I could not agree more.
I have not seen his video, so I don't want to get too emphatic about it, but I've seen a lot of videos and I've been a judge in this world and many of those deadlifts would not count.
Right. That's true. But if his aren't going to count, neither should everyone else's.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. He was made out to be the sacrificial lamb, according to Kenneth. I know life is not fair. That is not fair. Whatever happened there, I don't even understand the reasoning behind it, why you would pick one person to do that to and not everybody.
It's just so interesting that he could not submit a video and would still be within the top 10, wherever he was, maybe top 6 or something. And because he submitted, he got penalized. It's crazy.
And that takes us to the other half of the debacle. The winner of the women's side of 24.2 was Emily Claw. Emily Claw did not submit a video when asked by CrossFit. The story is, and I don't have confirmation on this, it's just being reported, that by Hiller, that she redid it on Monday and finished a round short of what her posted score was. She does not have a video, but CrossFit made the decision that because she did an affiliate with a certified judge, her score counts, but she is not eligible for the prize money for winning this phase of the Open. I will let you guys react first, and then I will say what I want to say.
This is a problem with affiliates in general. Like, we're putting a lot of the blame, obviously, like, on Emily, but affiliate owners validate videos or validate scores all the time that are scaled, and they're written as RX and they're scaled, and they mess up the leaderboard. I just think a lot of affiliate owners just go accept out of all the scores that they have from their gyms and never actually take the time to look through. Like, I know my affiliate owner, he's always going through every single one of them and making sure that the judges line up and everything. So I think that's the number one issue. Number two, I think there was probably just a miscount for sure in the rounds, just judging by a full round. I think CrossFit should give 24 hours to the athlete to provide a video. If they can't, then they could technically redo the workout in that time. And then whatever they are able to provide, that's the score they're given. Like, it doesn't need to be invalidated where she's off the leaderboard, but whatever score she was able to provide, let's say on the Monday, that's what you get. Like, it's you who forgot to video it, so you don't have that score.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Like, I mean, I would think both you and I would say, like, we could go within 24 hours and go repeat what we just did and get within 20 reps of what we just did. Like, you would not be a full round off. If you have the capacity to do it, you have the capacity to do it again.
Like, there's a difference between, like, let's say you get done the row, and then you, like, some reps are much faster than others, right? So if you got a bunch of more reps, it could be like double under reps, but a full round, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's 2 minutes about. I mean,
about 2 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not losing that kind of time. I mean, it's crazy. I don't know what the source is. I mean, I've said in the past, I think if you're going to, like, make some people video, I think everyone should video, and it should just be the open source judging. It should just everyone's video should be live on the leaderboard. This is what she did on her repeat. Should have been what she entered and given so that the second place person gets the money, or the second place person should have got the money. I don't know. I mean, if you don't want to take her off the leaderboard, the first person to be able to provide a winning score video should get the money.
Absolutely. Like, I'm surprised that the second place athlete, didn't receive the money. Like, it would have been who, like, the first person that provides the video that has legitimate scores, that's who gets the money.
Yeah. Corey says, I did it on Saturday and again on Sunday and got 60 more reps. So I don't know anybody that redid that workout that didn't improve. So the fact that she did it rested and did a full round worse is very fishy. Well, I say that, but Jim didn't improve because of his dubs, but, like, he was very, very close. And I mean, unless, like, something like that is happening, like, where somebody doesn't have dubs and didn't have a 9-10 round score in the first place, it's just a dub workout and you have them or you don't that day. But everyone that has dubs improved on this workout. Like, you figured out how to pace and where to push, and you did better. You don't do a round worse. That does not make sense.
So I made a public statement on Hiller's post that said, this is setting a precedent where if I am a regionals athlete, I just won't video myself. Hell, take the whole open off. Get somebody to validate my score. And as long as I don't win, nobody will know the wiser. And it makes me believe that's already happening. And as much as you want to think the good in every person, there are so many people out there trying to game the system. You know, people are doing that.
I think that's been happening for years, Scott. Like, as soon as it was 10% moving on to the next round, they're not looking at the videos at the 10 percentile. As long as you post a score of something that's that you feel like will be within the 10%, like, and you post at your affiliate, they validate. Like, I feel like that's been going on for years where people can skip the open and then just go to the next stage.
Sadly. It just became obvious to me, I guess. It because of the way the decision went, they did ask for a video. She couldn't supply the video. Like, it's one thing for them never to ask. I get that, right? Like, they don't have the bandwidth to ask for everybody's video. But in this case, they asked for it and she didn't have it. Like, that's so sus to begin with. And then she redoes it and can't even come close to the score again. Like, and then they let it stand anyway. It is a travesty for Hannah Carlson, who could have walked away with a couple grand and didn't because someone was playing with the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think CrossFit's viewpoint on these things are is they look at the individual involved and not the other people it always affects.
Yes.
And so that's what pisses me off.
Yeah. I guess my question is, how does the, I know you have this coming up, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth in the open at the end of the 3 weeks get money? So if Tudor would have said he didn't have a video and he would have stayed at 1,000 reps and say he finishes fifth after 0.3, how does that work? Do the top five at the end of 0.3 need to show all three videos to make sure that they really should be the top five overall? I'm very curious on that.
Because this is the most money that you can make in the CrossFit season until the games.
Right.
And this was later in the notes, but the Open has a prize purse. First place gets 15 grand. Second place, 10 grand. Third place, 7,500. Fourth place, 6 grand. Fifth place, 5 grand. Ariel said last night on Savon, she tries to win that money.
Mm-hmm.
That helps her family out. She bought a golf cart to get around and do some stuff at her house with the money that she won last year. And that it's her goal to do it again this year.
Yeah. I kind of feel like that maybe was Tudor's goal. Like, he's clearly pushing hard. And so that was like just totally stripped from him. And I'm curious if he would have said, nope, I don't have a video, how that would have played out at the end of the Open.
Yeah.
Like, I know for me, I look at it once week one is there, if you have a good score on week one, you're like, all right, if other people aren't going to care about the Open, I will. Like, it's like, if week one doesn't go well and you're like, okay, I'm out of the running, then it's like, you're basically like, you're just doing the Open. But if you have a good start to the Open, it's like, okay, well, let's see where you can start pushing and maybe redoing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause even at semifinals, you only make 5,000 to win. I mean, this is triple that. You're on mute, Carolyn. Carolyn, you're on mute.
Still on mute?
Now you're good.
And like all the way until 1,000 for fifth place. And then who knows, 12th place might get maybe 1,000 or something. Or a free L1 or L2.
Yeah, I don't know if they even published what the payout was last year when they went to 12 people make it or 11 people make it.
Yeah, I didn't see any publication on that.
I think it was still the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then you just get your spot to the games.
That's what I thought too. I just don't remember seeing it for some reason, but So Carolyn, how did you do on the workout?
I was very happy with it. So I did it the Saturday and then I redid it on the Monday. So the first time I think I missed my double unders three or four rounds. I changed my setup. So I had the bar, like the triangle style first. Mm-hmm. And then I switched it because I was turning around to the barbell and then turning back around to my double under because I just wanted to face a wall that no one's in front of. I can focus on my double unders. And I was taking about 4 steps.
Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Can now. We have
it, Carolyn. Scott that's losing your... Than my
it's on your it's you, but it's, you. We have okay. You now.
It okay. So it was like 4 steps to my skipping rope. And then I ended up moving the barbell more to the outside and then the skipping in the middle. I didn't want to do that at first because I felt like claustrophobic with my skipping. Like I need normally a lot of space. So that's not the technique I wanted to use at first. And then I started watching videos and I was like, I think I can go faster because it was just like 1 step to my skipping rope. So it was a better strategy. I saved a lot of time strictly on the transition. And then I missed 2 rounds, I think, on double unders instead of 3. So the first time was 840. So finishing the row. And then the other one, I got back to the double unders and got like 15.
Huge. I was happy with it. That's great.
Yeah, I think it's the best execution of a double under workout I've had in many, many years. Like, I don't remember the last time I did this many 50 unbroken.
That's amazing.
So I was like very, very happy with it.
I did
yesterday I had double unders and I couldn't do them.
I did the exact same thing with setup, like triangle the first time and then the center rope in the center. And I liked that better too.
So how did you do overall, Jamie?
Me? I got first in my age group.
Just first and no emotion?
Yeah, that was great. Like, I'm happy with that redo, that execution. Like, I feel like I pushed harder. It was just, it was a better workout for me.
And you finished top 100 overall.
I guess I didn't really pay attention to that.
I'm just saying
fourth in the world.
I'm just saying you did.
Yeah.
I think 97th, 96th, something like that in the world at 40 years old.
Not too bad for an old lady.
No, not bad at all. So I want to quickly go over some of Holly's stats. She puts all this work in. I want to make sure we highlight her. And she comes up with some really cool stuff. So we will start with some master stuff. So here is the Masters women top 5. And the difference. Sure. I'm trying to blow it up a little bit. Whoop. There we go. So here's women in 35 to 39. You can see it was somewhat tight. We have Mel Haslam, Emily Leppinen, Mackenzie Riley, Jillian Cook, and Emily DeLay. We go to 40-44. There's our very own Jamie Latimer with the win. Elia Navarro in second, Andrea Pinheiro in third, Leanne Garish and April Andrews. Women 45 to 49, Jessica Casas, Laura Nielsen, Jinga Goschak, Val Vobrel, Joanna Diener, and Lowton Kolb, and then Sonia McMillan. And those are ties. There were a couple ties in this division. Women 50 to 54, Lisa Olson, Stephanie China, Virginia Rushing, Carol Mezen, and Cheryl Brost. 55 to 59, Francois Mahir, Tiu Mavir, Christine Mitchell, Yana Eastus, Maria Marcolini. A little international flavor there. 60 to 64, Lori Meshinik, Meshishinik. Man, these are tough. Jeanette Maldonado, Julia Wallace, Rinda Lau, Phyllis Johnson, Lynn Watt, one of our recent interviewees, Elizabeth, and 65 plus, Elizabeth Torreblanca, Patricia McGill, Jill Cooper, Teresa McGee, and Martha Carlson. I want to go through the men, and then we'll just do some elite overall to finish up. Because last week we did the around the world. So this week we'll just do Masters. 35 to 39, Travis Mead, Ferris AA, Frank Graham, David Kalbrick, Brendan Willis, and Henry Matthews. 40 to 44, James St. Leger, Robert Downton, Sigdur Brostarson, Michael LaViere, Jordan Troyan. Can't believe Jordan Troyan's in his 40s.
Seems like just yesterday.
Kane Hayes in the 45 to 49. Robbie Perovich, Matthew Lee, Matthew Pauls, Martin Doust, and Matt Horton. 50 to 54, Jamie McGarva, David Jones, Nicholas Harbilas, Jonathan Steckbeck, Kenneth Robinson, Bill Grundler wins 55-59. Sigjorn Insulet, Vic McQuaid, Jody Hendricks, Lemerson Caporali.
Bill did that with the 185 bar, didn't he? I heard him say he didn't want to use the.
Yeah, he refuses to use, as he calls the old people weights, that he still wants to do the regular open weights, which is crazy.
To win with the heavier weight, that's cruising, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's fit.
Corey says Bill did that with no warm up.
The row is the warm up.
Right.
So men 60-64, Antonio Marcos Alves, Leo Zavala, Morten Sonerskov, Stefano Antonelli, Shannon Aiken, Murray Howes, Mark Anderson, and then finishing up with 65 plus, Calvin Cherrington, Carlos Del Rio, Callum McKinley, Stephen Becker, and Brian Hainlane. All right. And then we'll just go to one interesting thing I thought she posted. That's 24.1. All right, here's worldwide men and women. There's what we talked about earlier. Emily Claw, Hannah Carlson, Grace Walton, Ariel Lowen, and Ashley Engel. And then we won't go through the countries this time. Everything had an international flavor. And then men, we had Heinrich Kapilainen, Dallin Pepper, Yonikoski, Travis Mead, Jeff Adler, Saxon Pancheck, and Roman Krennikov. Anything stick out to you in those top fives?
Well, Travis coming from the 35 to 39, that sticks out to me.
That's huge.
Yonikoski sticks out to me. I did not envision this being a workout for him.
He likes the longer workouts, doesn't he?
It's the power output of the row. You know, it's a row workout in the elite area. I didn't see that coming.
It's the speed of the double unders, too. It's a transition. The speed of the double under is a major factor. And transitions. Like, if you're able to just one foot into the rower, start pulling. And like I watched, I think it was Dallin. Yeah, Dallin's speed of his double unders was so fast. Same with like Tudor. Like if you're just able to barely jump off the ground, like you're saving time. I know when I do double unders, like I jump pretty high and I'm always behind people. Well, I'm always behind people naturally, but even more so just on my cycle speed of that.
So then we go to today and how's the
answer, Ken? We are in 82nd and I think the cut is like 85. So we got to hold on this week.
So then we moved to today. We talked, I'm sure it's been talked about all day. 1 hour before showtime today, it appeared that the workout was made public on the YouTube site for CrossFit. And Jamie, you had a good point. You thought maybe it was,
I think it was daylight savings time. Like I think a month or 2 months ago, somebody set these up or 3 weeks ago for 3 p.m. noon, whatever it is, wherever you're at, 3 p.m. for me. I think they set it up for 3 p.m. each week and didn't account for daylight. Cause it was like 2 o'clock that it came out. So that's what I feel like happened.
For sure. That's a great point. I think that's what happened.
You know what I think is funny about that is the PFAA put out a warning to the athletes. Don't forget about daylight savings time, because 2 years ago, there was a big fiasco in Europe where people submitted their scores an hour late because of daylight savings time and missed their opportunity for the games. So I think that's kind of funny. But it's okay when CrossFit does it. It's just not okay when the athlete does it.
Right.
So it came out. It was correct. They did have it right of what it was. And so when the announcement came, kind of took a little bit of the zest out of the announcement when you already knew. As soon as I saw the whiteboard, I was like, okay, I don't need to watch.
Right.
Jocko do the rest, because I already know.
Okay, but why wasn't Jocko there?
He was there.
No, oh, I thought that was like, oh, I thought that was like a video filmed.
Oh.
That was a video filmed. Like, he wasn't actually live there.
Right.
Yeah, that's even worse.
And there was, like, stuff written on the board on the other side, like his own workout, like that he couldn't even erase off the board before even explaining. Like, I wish that he would have been there live to do it.
Yeah, that is weird. I actually stopped watching because the feed was so bad. Like, it kept freezing. I couldn't even deal with it. And I was driving. But it was awful once again.
Yeah, it. So let's talk about that. Like, so you have Jocko not live, in a packed house. Swap out Seth Rollins live in that building this week. Whole different kind of thing. No, you have on video Jocko, and it's already written on the board, and he just walks over and reads the board. Like, I know he paid the sponsor this week, and so that's money in the pocket of CrossFit, but man, that's been my issue with other. It's not that I think Dave is the best at doing the announcements, but everybody that they brought in to do it other than him, other than Seth Rollins, has not brought the punch. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people that could bring the punch. You just got to bring the right people in to do it. And Jason, and it's in the chat, but, and Jason CrossFit Media, I was watching his take on it. He made a great point. It's too late to get open signups weeks 2 and 3. Like, if you're bringing an outsider in to do it, it should be week 1. That's when you want other people from around the sport to come in and sign up and do this thing, the open, and see what it's all about.
Lex had suggested too that, let's say, like, when he does the announcement, like, people would, they would like rent out a way bigger place than obviously the Shred Shed, and that people could sign up to do the workout after, like the elites, and pay a certain money and meet, you know, Seth Rollins and stuff, and kind of generate even more revenue and bring people from maybe his side of the community with wrestling and just to try that first one with the burpees, like that's when you could have for sure used that and then allowed people to play too and pay a fee, even if it's like $10, $20 to get judged there and you do a bunch of heats. Like I thought that was a good idea also by Lex.
Well, and you know, I've been to two announcements myself. When the announcement's over, like the barricades come down, you can walk over and talk to whoever it is that's doing the announcement. And I'm sure Seth would have been the same way. Like, and there aren't those opportunities when you go to a WWE event, because it's in a big arena with 50,000 people. You don't have the opportunity to get that close to Seth. This would have been an opportunity to get people who wanted to meet Seth Rollins to come to a live announcement and get to check it out. Mm-hmm. So, I thought today was lackluster. One, the workout was announced. It was videoed. It wasn't even live. And you talk about the freezes. What really annoyed me is they'd come back from the freeze and the announcers wouldn't even mention it was frozen.
Right.
Like they just kept going like nothing happened. Like, shouldn't we get a like, sorry for the technical issues. We think we have them corrected. We're going to move on. No, it's just like, welcome to Proven Headquarters. Like it was a brand new start. I don't know. I was bummed.
I still think that this kind of stuff has been going on for years and people are like, oh, you know, when Dave's going to be back, you know, nothing's like this going to happen. But it's been like this for years. Literally when Dave was there, when he was gone, like there's been mess ups and it's just more in the spotlight now because there's more people doing like the media part of it and really waiting for CrossFit to mess up. But there's always been stuff like I saw and I was like, yeah. I mean, 1 hour difference is, I mean, for the open, it didn't matter as much. It would be worse, I guess, if it was, I don't know, some sort of quarterfinal workout and then certain regions can actually do the workout on the first day versus when they're sleeping at night and they don't get that extra hour to know about the workout. Like, that's when it would matter maybe more. But for the open, I was like, okay, like,
yeah,
moving on.
So I talked to Boz about that, right? And his response was great. Like, he thinks people romanticize the past. He's like, I lived it. It wasn't all gravy. Like, it was, there were some bad moments in that time. And people romanticize what went on in the past. And he just says, ask for patience. But my gosh, we're getting like 17 years into this thing. Like, we should be trying to figure some of it out. But I still love this sport. I still love I love everything about this sport. And I even though they mess up, I'll still be coming back and cheering away and cheering for the athletes that I love and all of that stuff. So the other things we had to talk about is, one, I think Proven put on a great show. It was really well designed to be able to get the crowd really close and right up to the action. And having to pivot from Tia's injury. So let's talk about that. It was supposed to be Tia versus Ariel. Tia announces on Monday that she can't do the workout because of her wrist. And she won't be able to give the fans the show they deserve. So they pivot, bring in Roman from Cookeville. Jay Crouch is at Proven. He flew in Monday just by chance. And Sydney works out there anyway. So they put together this foursome instead of Tia versus Ariel. Were you happy with that?
Yeah.
I like that there's two guys, two girls. I was surprised that they wouldn't have picked their top athlete from the open right now. It's Maddie Sturt. I don't know if she's already there or not. She's Jay's girlfriend or whatever. Or Sydney McAlishan would have been also a really good call because she's one of the best pullers in CrossFit. I think she would have given a good battle as well. But I thought Sydney performed pretty well today, actually much better than I thought. She paced it very well. I was impressed by her.
She did incredible.
Much better than I thought.
Yeah, I was shocked.
I was so happy for her, actually.
I feel a little bad for Ariel because, and whatever, I don't know if going into it when she was like going to face Tia, if she, I mean, we know that she has the ability in the right workout to beat Tia. But she talked about that. Like she was hoping to win the gold barbell. And I don't feel like, I feel like the top men's time this week, same kind of as last week, like the women aren't going to be as competitive as the men. Like, I don't feel like Ariel had a shot against the men. So she kind of didn't have a shot at the golden barbell. And that's sort of sucks.
She may not win the golden barbell, but she's a rogue athlete. So I think she's the ultimate winner.
Is she a rogue athlete? Because
she is. It got announced today that she's a rogue athlete.
Wow.
So I think that's a better prize, if you ask me.
Maybe they'll give her one.
Yeah, I knew
that's awesome.
That was like a bucket list thing for her. So I'm glad that that happened. I missed the announcement. But breaking news from Carolyn Prevost. Ariel is now a rogue athlete.
Dan's got a point here. You want to read that?
Here's the thing that irks me.
Tia
won't do the announcement because of the injury, but did say she won't do the, didn't say she won't do the event at all. Maybe she'll do the old, oops, I forgot to film it. It's just the open. Well, she'll film it probably. It'll just be from the back.
Yeah. And we'll get clips of it.
If there's someone that could crush this workout healthy, it would be Tia, though.
Oh, gosh.
If she was healthy for this workout, like I just think about her and Matt doing the friendly Fran from the open. Or from the CrossFit Games 2020 season online. And I mean, yeah, she would crush this one.
I think
she still can. I don't know at what point or how much she'll be able to push on Monday when she does it.
She's going to video it because there's too many eyes.
Of course.
That want to make sure she did it. But my thing about the golden barbell is, you only had to make six. How much more would it have been for you to make two more? And then in the week one and the week three, you give the men and the women each one.
Yep.
Like two barbells. Come on, Rogue.
Especially that some workouts, like you said, Jamie, like some workouts, like the workout of the row, a girl will never win that against a guy. Oh. Never. So if you had a matchup that had two girls and two guys, like you're not going to most likely win as a female.
Because we
I like that idea of one winner for the guys, one winner for the girls.
Because we end the season with all three winners being men.
Yeah.
And that sucks. This sport is just as popular with the women as it is with the men. They get equal pay at the games. They should be treated as equals in this regard as well. So then the workout was announced. What are your thoughts on the workout?
I think they needed to pick a lane and stick with it. I know you don't think that there should be a scaled of the open, but my members so far have been loving the open, and I already have some very, very disappointed members posting on Facebook that this is like, they just don't even want to come participate. It's catering to elites. They can't even do the scaled version. And so like, I have to pivot and create a whole separate workout for our gym, for our members. It's frustrating. Like, well, I think there should be a level of like, we're trying to get you to this movement. But you've gone from like fully inclusive to not inclusive at all.
But the scaled version has a jumping chest to bar and then just a chin over the bar pull up. So it's not like people can still try to get their first pull up. The weight's a little bit lower. Like it's still, I think the scaled version is is a good version for most of the community.
She's digging on me because I had a take that I didn't. I thought they should.
I know. I was with her online. I was in support of her. That I feel like scaled is important. I think there's something to chew for everyone. I mean, I do see that it's almost like there's two different opens right now, right? Weeks one and two, and then week three is like, thanks for playing this. I mean, if you look at the time cap, 15 minutes, and you look at someone like Sydney Wells and Ariel and Roman in the 10 minutes, I start thinking, well, these are games athletes in 10, almost 11 minutes. Will that many people finish the workout at 15? I don't think so. Yeah. But I think a lot of people will post scaled scores and get it validated by the affiliate owners again, and more of the leaderboard stuff will happen because a lot of people will do it scaled and then don't know how to log. And that's, like another issue.
Yeah. Yep.
The workout itself, I mean, I personally like it much better than week two. I like Fran.
How many people do you think will take the minute rest out of their time?
Oh, yeah, people will take that. People will substitute that for sure. Yeah, 100%.
I don't think that this is an open friendly workout. This is a great quarterfinals workout. This is not an open friendly for the masses workout. I'm sorry. Like, people are just idiots.
I do agree with you on this one. It doesn't make sense with what they've already programmed.
Yeah, it seems like two different people programmed weeks one and two, and then week three was...
You know, it was said, the open is going to be, we want people that we can drag off the street and come in and do these things and become part of the community. This is not that. Someone off the street doing a thruster with no front rack mobility is going to kill themselves.
Well, no.
I've been there.
I mean, if they're going right off the streets, I think that you should still, that's someone that could go scaled. Like, I don't think you should be forcing someone off the street that they have to be able to do the RX. I don't agree with that. I think someone off the street can do most things RX, but that anyone could come off the streets with zero training and we'll just give them a thruster of 95 pounds. No, they're scaled. Or foundation. Yeah. If they have zero experience, like they have their foundations.
I even find jumping chest to bar to be extremely difficult.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I have a ton of members who cannot do a jumping chest to bar. Like, let alone a pull up. They're not even going to get through the jump. I have to change the workout.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I don't mean to be negative, but it just doesn't make sense. Because
it doesn't.
Like you guys were saying, who's going to make it through? If you look at the community heat that went ahead, Rachel Skinner was a teen athlete at the games. And she didn't finish. She missed by two reps. Like, and she was humming in that first round. And it all just went away.
She may have went out too hot.
And she was really good at bar muscle ups. Like it just was, she was so fatigued by the end. And it wasn't technique. Yeah. Like she was, I don't know. And then 95 seemed really heavy for her.
The 95 is very heavy for me.
Yeah. A few years ago, they had 85 pounds, I think, if I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one had a gymnastics progression, but it had the double unders in between. I remember that because I just kept tripping.
Yeah, that was the one that went 85.
95 is a big difference for a lot of people.
Yeah. Did that one go toe to bar, chest to bar muscle up, or was it pull up, chest
pull ups, chest to bar muscle ups? I think it was like something like 21, 18, 15. And then the double unders was like double the reps or double or triple the reps or something like that.
Yeah. That one, I remember that one. That one, and that one went, is that the one that went right into the lift?
No, that one was. That was the front squat. 22, 20, 22.
21.3 and 4.
Oh yeah, 21 points. Yeah, yeah, that's the one. That one had front squats, toast bars. That one had a rest as well in between.
Mm-hmm. And that one went toe to bar, chest to bar, bar muscle up.
I think so. With front squats.
That one, yeah.
I'm surprised no toes to bars.
I was surprised there was no. I thought we'd see toes to bar this week.
That's one of the movements that's like a staple. That and double unders. And I thought we'd see a toes to bar this week.
Me too. Uh-oh, is there a tornado coming?
There is a tornado coming. So you did see my wife in the corner of your screen. But she is, and we're live on the air, and she's saying hi to everybody.
It's really bad. It's very, very
bad. Oh. Oh, no.
So there is a massive storm cell coming right at us. So her and the dog are now down here in the basement. So if you hear any of that stuff, that's why. So now that we have the thoughts on the workout, when are we doing it?
So I already did it.
We saving that for Sunday night?
No, Haley and I already did it.
I know, but are we saving your results till Sunday night?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to do it tomorrow morning and then possibly at my affiliate on Monday. If I feel like I can finish within the top five, I'm already doing that for sure. This is a good workout for me, I think.
And you're flying back to Canada?
I fly back Sunday. I leave here Sunday morning at 7 a.m., 7:10 from San Francisco. So really, really early because it's about an hour away. I'll be home in Toronto at about like 3:30 in the afternoon. And then I work Monday because I go back to work on Monday. So I would do it after work on Monday. If I'm not too sore from it.
Dan Church has an opinion, and that is there needs to be a thing other than work capacity to challenge someone. If that's a chin over the bar, so be it. I love this workout. People should embrace adversity to allow themselves to grow. That was a lot of my argument about they should get rid of the scale division. It doesn't, if that's the case, then the whole open should be written in that way, not just the last event.
And I don't disagree with, I do like these like progressive, like, hey, maybe you do get your first pull up. I think starting the scaled with jumping chest to bar is slightly too advanced. Like just a jumping pull up to start, I think would have been a great, like way more inclusive. Like let's get everyone through this first five rounds and then let's see what you can do. Like if you get a pull up, cool. You pass all the rest of those people. If you don't get one, at least you tried. I just think it was a little aggressive of a start for what we've seen for the open so far.
Fellow teacher, Jeffrey Birchfield, Carolyn, are you on spring break?
Yeah, I get a week off from school. But spring break, but I mean, I've still done some math corrections throughout the break. I got to finish some because they had a test before the break just so that they can start fresh in your unit. So I'm off, but still doing a little bit of work.
I don't know if he's just jealous or what, but. Okay. So heat one, I'm getting slaughtered.
Me too.
So we'll skip that part. I do want to talk about the comp though. We did briefly a little bit. We talked about Sydney and how she did way better than we thought. Ariel and then Jay Crouch. Let's talk about him for 1 second. That dude is going nowhere. Like he is legit here to stay. And he demolished that workout. Do you think his score will stand?
Noah has 8:30.
And Jay.
So no, I think his score is great. But people will look at that and strategize because they saw that they kind of broke down towards the end and had to break their bar muscle ups. People will pick apart that first attempt and will for sure beat his score. I won't be surprised to see a low eight.
Low and eight Jay minutes. Was nine.
What's that? He got 9:13.
9:13.
Noah got 8:30 already. I think Noah will have one of the top scores, but I think someone like Colton will crush this.
Do you think? Okay, yeah, Colton's going to kill it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, his grip strength is unmatched, and his range of motion is so small for the thrusters.
Mm-hmm. The one thing is, if he's doing it at CrossFit Charlotte, I think the bars might be, you know, a different height than what he's used to at home. So if he's having to jump a little bit higher, his score may not be as good as if he had the perfect height of the barbell, because I don't think they're going to be adjusting that barbell or that bar for him, like some affiliates do.
Mat or a riser, but yeah, it's still awkward.
But I think he'll still smash it.
So Kenneth is actually in the 300s. That's a couple hundred better than me. Jeffrey Birchfield is in 65th, which is
what?
He's over the moon.
I just haven't been, like messing with my picks. Like, I just put them in on Tuesday or whatever, and I don't change them even after the workout. So,
Scott, I've been told by Lex to just remind you that she's ahead of you.
Yeah, it wouldn't take much on this one, but we'll be back. We'll be back at quarters.
I'm in 584.
The open doesn't matter.
Are you beating me?
I have no idea. I looked at my number and I was like, should I even bring it up tonight?
I'm not ashamed.
I am 408th, actually.
Oh, you're kicking my butt.
All right, then I'm happy. Now I just got to catch Lex. All right. Jamie and the team. So we're going to do the Sunday night show. You and Haley have already gone. The rest of the team going Sunday?
Yes. Jeff will go tomorrow. Azariah is going to do it at home tomorrow. And then we'll go on Sunday. Well, Haley's gone. She's flying out tomorrow. So that's why we did it tonight. So I'll probably go with Azariah on Sunday and maybe redo it, or I'll wait till Monday. But
is there something major that you would change from your first attempt?
It was awful. It was terrible. I hated the whole thing. It was so awful.
Is that a hard combination for you? Or
thrusters and chest bar are literally my worst things. Like, thank God for the bar muscle up. But yeah, and it was not great on my shoulder, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Well, I just need to rot. I don't know. What do I need to do? Like, that's that, the barbell's heavy for me. I felt like I took tons of rest. I don't know. Suck it up and try to push a little quicker, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, Corey, I'd rather do bar muscle ups than chest bar any day of the week as well.
Well, especially if your team is that close to the cutoff, like, you're going to have to probably redo it.
I know.
Like, it is what, you know, you have nothing to lose. Like, you have, I mean, I don't know how the other members will do, but.
Well, I need the men to step up this week. Like, I've carried the team the last 2 weeks. I need the men to have a good score.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So let's move on to some news. And we'll close out the show. So we talked about it Sunday night, but it was announced over the weekend that Ellie announced she is sitting the season out. Caroline, I didn't get to your opinion on this, I think, live. You may have put it in the chat, but Ellie is sitting out the season. Any thoughts?
Not surprised. I thought I kind of just saw this coming. I think you could see physically, she may have been, you know, 80%, 85%, but there was still some stuff when you look at Justin's channel that she wasn't always doing the same thing as him. I don't know if they have the same program or not, but something there. And then, like she said, like, mentally, I think that it's been hard on her. I think being away from home, like, there's just not having probably her exemption and just other things probably going on in her life and pressures. So it's probably a mixture of many, many different things that she hasn't even talked about in social media. So, I mean, not super surprised, but hopefully hopefully she gets back into it. Like she said later in this year. So maybe she'll be looking at Wodapalooza, California, or something like, you know, Rogue or something like that.
Yeah, I got the opportunity to meet her at her first ever games when she got trapped here and couldn't get back to Australia because of the Olympics, if everybody remembers that. And I interviewed her for the Morning Chalk Up at the time. And she was so kind and so gracious to come in and sit down with an interview. And I hope that whatever she needs to do to make herself happy again, that it can happen. I know she has the back thing. We saw it at the games last year. I've had that injury. It is horrible. Like, you can't get comfortable. And so I pray that she finds whatever relief she needs to in injury wise and whatever peace she needs mentally to be able to move on. Speaking of back injuries, Caden Hogan announced this week. Teen athlete finished fourth at the games last year in the 16-17 year old division. He has a herniated disc and he is going to have to sit out this season. He tried to go through the open, tried the second workout, could not complete it. So I had to withdraw.
I just think it's crazy to see these young athletes with these injuries. Like Lex and I were walking the dogs and we had a chat about it. Like, just like the amount of, you know, weight that some of the young athletes are doing while they're in development and stuff. I mean, it's fine, but it's the overtraining at that age. Right. I don't know if he's still doing other sports. I think he was an athlete of other sports. I don't know if he specialized after that in CrossFit, but sad to see young athletes have back problems. Like, I feel like that's an older issue. Problem normally, or something that's, you know, happened over time and many, many years of training for a certain sport. But when they're this relatively new, but in the sport, it's not a good look. But for most of the teens, it's not like they've been doing it since 7 years old. Like, it's, we think it's new, but they've done CrossFit as long as I have.
Right.
Yeah. He was followed by the Prodigies podcast last season. So I got to know him a little bit there. Good kid. It's one of those things where he was really good at like the body weight stuff and he was trying to build strength because he's a smaller athlete. And you just hope he didn't try to push too far, too fast.
Yeah, didn't he win the 5K last year at the games? I think he was a really good runner or something.
Mm-hmm.
I remember.
Yeah, he was up there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys can see the lights flickering on and off behind me. It's getting serious here. So if I disappear, you guys will have to finish out the show. But we also got word of another athlete out, and that is perennial semifinal athlete. So close to the games in multiple seasons. Gave up firefighting this year to go all in on competing in CrossFit. Decided she needs to take a step back and find her happy place again, and that's Chloe Wilson. This one surprised me.
Another mental thing.
I mean, you can literally. I have it. I have it up. I can share it.
I didn't see this one. That's crazy.
So Chloe Wilson. If people don't remember, Granite Games 3 years ago, she finished like a point out of going to the games. Then the next year she finished in sixth again in that really tight race in Knoxville. And then last year she was in a qualifying position until the last event and fell out in the West. So she says, I moved across the country to compete full time in CrossFit. Then I decided to not compete at all. Life's crazy. Gonna find my happy inside the gym again, get back to being a firefighter. Hopefully somewhere in Tennessee wants me. And most important, find my happy outside the gym. I'm excited and happy with my choice. Thanks for all the support and love.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, is it becoming an epidemic? that we're losing all, like athlete after athlete after athlete are taking a step back? Are we training too much? Is the season too long? Is the answer yes to all of that?
Well, once she first stopped working, my first thing was, that's stupid. Like me as like a full-time worker, I was like, you can still do your firefighting. And like, I'm like, she's just as good. Like it's, I don't think that she needed to go full-time. And if she, and she, like when you heard some of her things on podcasts, like she was so passionate about, you know, fighting fires and stuff like that. And when you have something else in your life and you all of a sudden take all that out and you're going all in, the amount of pressure that added to your life is crazy. Because when you don't qualify for the games, I had happened last year, right? I don't qualify for the games. I have something to fall back on. I have a full-time job, other things. When you've had that job and all of a sudden you quit that to go all in and you don't make it, you're like there's just so much pressure. So I don't know if that's a factor in that, but it's just something else on her plate too. Like it can kind of just a way, it's completely different from CrossFit. And I think that's important to have something that's completely, you know, she has different friends at firefighter. She gets to experience different things, the thrill of, you know, saving people's lives and stuff. And I think that she obviously missed that. And could have, I think could have stayed full time there and probably still made the games. And
she,
been happier.
She's somebody that I feel like should have gone the team route and kept, like stayed with the firefighting, gone the team route, got that experience, then maybe figured out, can I do this solo?
That's hard though when you're that close. Like, I mean, we're not talking like she finished sixth at Granite, sixth at Mac or Syndicate. I can't remember which one. And then she was in a qualifying spot in Pasadena going into the last event. Like,
so was Annika. We see she's going the team route.
She's not.
She's not going team?
Nope.
Other people from that are training at her gym, like at P.
Oh, I guess it's.
It's Matilde and Lena. Are the women on that team. She did a team with them at one of the off-season events. But yeah, she has told me like it's indie or nothing. She doesn't like doing team.
I guess it's not for everybody.
Yeah, I've talked to athletes in the past where team was a miserable experience for them. It's just not what they're made out to do. And getting four personalities on the same page is really hard. So you need to make sure you have the right three other people or it can be really, really hard. So my last question for the night, and I think we need to dive into this. People leaving and the reasons why a little bit deeper maybe next week. And just real quick, Bruce did ask, Scott worked out with Judy. I did. And Judy was awesome. We had a blast for an hour, got fitter and she did awesome and was so excited to see where Christy Aramo works out. We just didn't get to see Christy Aramo today. So
she's at the High Rocks, right? This weekend in Houston or something.
Yeah, I know she's doing that. But I don't know where she's at. We've been talking by email and yeah, it's hard for me to imagine she would miss an open weekend because they're so involved.
Yeah.
But the coaches there are really good. So, I mean, she has people she can trust to do it. And her mom ran the gym for years and is still very active there. So,
I think her and her husband are doing the High Rocks this weekend individually, like in the Indy Pro. And Mal O'Brien's doing it as well, but not in the Indy Pro. I think she's doing it in a team or something like that.
Yeah, she's doing doubles. Yeah. Brian Spinn announced that gosh, right before we went on the air. But I think Christy will crush High Rocks. Yeah.
I think so too. I think that's a great transition for her as a, she was probably a, one of, I mean, if not the best long distance runner that we've had. I think someone like her, Alex Parker, was a really good runner too. Like pure like distance runners. Rolf, obviously.
Yeah, she runs to the gym and it's a couple miles. Like, and then she runs home after the workout. Like after today, I barely got to my car. So.
How are your legs doing right now, Scott?
Not great. The rope crushed them. Just haven't had much resistance or like pushing with power in a little bit. And I felt it. First four rounds, I was good. Second four rounds, wheels came off the bus pretty hard. But then I'd look over, Judy was going to town every single round. And I'm like, well, got to keep going. And in the Judy way was just like, you got this, Scott, you can do it. Aww. And so I had to like, keep going. So my last question is, are the results of the Open changing your opinions on any specific athletes and how well they can do this year? Like for instance, today, Sydney Wells surprised me with her upper body pulling, that she hung in there pretty good against some of the best in the world. And that is a huge improvement for her.
Yeah. I think her like pull-ups have always been decent. I'm sure she's been working on it more. There's something about the ring muscle up, the turnover or something that, I mean, we'll have to wait on seeing that if that has improved at all. I'm sure it's improved a little bit, but I still think that's going to be her huge hole compared to the field. And I don't.
I know you shut it off, but Tia was even saying how far she's come with her bar muscle ups in the time that she's been there is like night and day.
That's awesome.
It's just hard to tell for the Open because some people are redoing, some people are not. Different types of workouts that you'll see at quarterfinals. So some people will shine more in the Open and they always do more, like just better in the Open. So I don't value, as much. I'm an Open person. I like the Open. I normally do well every year in the Open, but I don't know. It's just different. It's a different test. It starts back over. You just don't know what people will have. What people will be like in a month.
Yeah.
So what I look at, and I have a handful of names. Or do you want to go first, Jamie? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think Sydney's a great pick, but I had said something about her before was Grace Walton. Like, is just smashing this so far. I'm so curious to see how she does on 0.3, but that would be like, that's like my top pick.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. Like, I want to see, obviously her capacity is there. Now I want to see is the CrossFit, traditional CrossFit thruster chest of our bar muscle ups there. Cause she's been crushing it. Very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know about her before. I didn't follow her.
And we know she can swim. From right. Wadapalooza, like a dolphin.
And we know I can't.
So. So I had like three coming into today. And it really, what I'm looking for is people that are doing well in things that I wouldn't think they would do well in. So how much have they closed the gaps on their holes? And coming into this week, Tudor was high on my list. If you look at 24.1, that was not a Tudor workout. And he finished top 50 in the world, I think 34th or something like that. And then this week before the debacle, he was winning the event. Mm-hmm. And I did think he would do good on the row. I just didn't know if he had the engine to finish.
Agreed.
And he showed that he kind of did have the engine to finish. whether you think his deadlifts were open or not. He still got over 1,000 reps. He still went through it all, and his engine still held up. So Tudor is one. Freya Moosberger has done well in events that I did not picture her to do well in. Same as I look at her as a Tudor athlete as well. And like she did well on the first two workouts. And my next one is a real big wild card. 2 years ago, she was a semifinals athlete. She injured her knee last year, and that's Elena Buds. She went to Underdogs for a year. She tore up her knee. She's been rehabbing it back, and she's looked really good in the open this year. She moved back home to be back with family. She's really close with them. But again, moving back home puts her back in the East. That's Murder's Row. But I do think, and Freya, I think that's a mistake for her. Training out of TTT now, if she's in the East. And I don't know how that works. Like, if you go by...
She's training in Montreal, but she's doing training Think Tank, I think. But she's in Montreal.
Okay. Is that East? Because last year she was West training in Montreal, right?
Yeah. I think she had her home address before, but now I think she's, like, more moved into Montreal. Like, okay. I think before she wasn't kind of, like, living there. She's more training there. And now I think she's more established in Montreal.
So those were my picks. Those are the three that I, just looking at the leaderboard, I thought showed something where they've improved on their holes. And I'm actually super excited. And now that CrossFit is picking on Tudor, now I want him to win more.
I know. Me too.
So, like, I'm in that kid's corner and want him to do well. But those are the three that I kind of, like, stood out to me as people who have fixed their hole. And the other thing that I'll say is, for those people who thought that Ariel was a fluke last year, they got another thing coming. Because that girl is super fit now. And she's got some confidence behind her. And that makes her really dangerous. And in the last spin pull, I moved her back up into the top five. So
she's killing it. I agree.
I'm intrigued by the Kale guy within the top 10 or whatever for the male. I think he's third right now. He's very, he's not as tall. He's more Colton's height, maybe even smaller. So something like this could also be good for him. Like, can he win the Open? Never heard of him. Just would be interesting there. To have someone come out and do as well as that. I don't know how he did last year in the Open. Yeah, he doesn't have much experience. He did the Open in 2023 and was almost 5,000. So maybe there was an injury there or something, but
yeah, or
something else.
What I was looking at was like people I knew what their holes were.
Right.
Like these people that are coming out of the woodwork, I don't know yet. Like it's wait and see, but
Caron, I think is I'm happy to see that he's recovering from his pec. I didn't expect him as high. Like he's always done well in the open, but just to see him back after a rough year last year, I think it's nice to see that.
Yeah, we it's funny. We stayed in the same Airbnb as him and Vino.
Yeah.
Alex last year in Orlando and didn't even know it until Sunday when we were packing up to leave.
Yep.
But yeah, it was sad. He was in the parking lot, like his shoulder was all wrapped up and bandaged after that. But yeah. And he's a good guy. Like there's him and Alex are really cool.
My third pick was Dallin in the men's side. I've been very impressed with him. I knew the second workout would be good, but that first workout to see him go sub six that's very impressive. He's putting up a good start to the season, and he had a phenomenal season last year, and I think he could be in the mix with those top guys now. because I think he was a tier behind them before, but I think he's stepping up now to that. I mean, it's just the Open, but again, I think he has a very positive trajectory.
Would there be a specific reason why he seems to be a slow starter? Like at every event you go to, whether it be Rogue, the Games, Wadapalooza, like it seems like he gets off to a slow start.
Sorry, doodles are barking at some squirrels out there, so I was waiting to see if Jamie was going to say something.
Well, I know you've competed at the highest level. Like, do you ever have those? Like, you don't seem to be a slow starter.
It depends on the workout, and it really depends. Like, if you're going to the Games and it's a swimming workout to start, I'm going to be a slow starter. It depends on what it is.
Yeah, you and Pat Vellner.
I don't even try to swim. Like, he's at least swimming all the, like, every week. I swam at Wadapalooza. I swam at NorCal Classic. I take my two full rest days a week. Full rest days. I love it.
All right.
I'll worry about swimming when I need to worry about swimming.
And
then it's too late.
one of my favorite quotes ever is from Carolyn, where she goes, "Why would I waste time getting better at one event out of 15? Like, just keep getting better at the other stuff, and I have one bad event." And when she said it, I was like, you know, it kind of does make sense. Why put a ton of effort into this if I'm only going to improve from 39th to 36th?
Yeah. You got a point. Because it's
like
not
I can survive. Like, I'm not. No, like, yeah, you're survive. If it's going to appear like in semifinals or something, I'll start swimming. But I don't think it will. Not yet, anyways. Not in the facilities that we have. So I would rather have the rest days. I do work on those where, like, I'm doing corrections. It's like a mental break. Like, I get to switch and work on other things that I have in my day.
Corey says, "I won't drown."
Well, it depends on the distance, Corey.
One thing I forgot to bring up, and that is, I don't know if you saw, Adrian Conway today was wearing a new shirt that if you make quarters, you get. Now, is it free from CrossFit, or is it do you have to pay for it?
You buy that, Scott. For sure you're buying. They're not sending shirts to people. No way. It's just an opportunity to buy a shirt to say that you made it to the quarters.
And you can only buy it if you made it to quarters.
Like, I bought a shirt from Rogue that said I was in the 750 club after I got, like, I still had to buy it. I'm assuming it's the same thing.
Hey, it should be part of the sign-up fee.
Sarah Cooper. Yes. Carolyn is going indie. She's one of those alphas that can't be in a room with three other people. Just kidding. Corey says, if it's as ugly as the Open shirt, they can keep it.
Jeffrey still hasn't even gotten his Open shirt, so that's not good. That's a bad look.
Wow. That's like tier when I bought the Sydney and the Emily shirts, and I got them 3 months after Wadapalooza was over.
What the heck?
And I ordered them like 3 months before Wadapalooza.
That's terrible.
Why are jerseys for athletes so hard? Like, no matter what company does them, they seem to be delayed.
Yeah.
It's a screen printed name on a shirt.
Yeah, they're clearly using the wrong vendor for it, I would say.
Yeah, like for the Arnold, Thick Boy had me three shirts and a sweatshirt in like less than a week.
Mm-hmm.
So All right. Well, with that, I think the storm has passed. Wife and dog have left.
Good. That's good.
And we made it through with full power. The only advantage I have living where I do is I am like a couple hundred yards from Chase's headquarters. And so all the power lines are underground. And they're on like this super grid because the banking world can't be without them.
Right.
So we're on that same grid. We have never lost power in the 20 years I've lived here.
That's crazy.
And just knocking on wood to.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Well, with that, the chat, you are always, you're always on fire on Thursday nights. Make sure to join us on Sunday night when we review the tapes of Jamie's first attempt and second attempt of 24.3. And the whole team, see where they're at. And
come on, boys. Step it up, boys.
Yeah. Take your creatine, Jamie, for Sunday.
Okay.
And with that, we will see everybody next time on Thursday Night CrossFit Talk. Thanks, guys. Night. C4 Energy, Extend, and CelluCore are delivering the most effective, best tasting, and highest quality products for you. Get 20% off when you use the code Clydesdale at checkout at C4energy.com. That's C4energy.com. And now back to the interview.